Tired of spending so much time and money on vehicle maintenance and repairs? Make this October Cartober when you donate a car, truck, RV, or boat to KPBS. Go online to kpbs.org/car to make your donation. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, October 30th. San Diego County just agreed to its largest wrongful death settlement ever. More on that next, but first, the headlines. Following a city council decision this week, San Diego City crews have started to tackle a backlog of infrastructure needs. The council on Monday voted to end their policy of sharing revenue with parking districts. As a result of this, $1.8 million in funds were freed up. Funds were gathered in downtown, uptown, Pacific Beach, and mid-city, and will go towards sidewalk repairs, streetlight repairs, and more in those same areas. An internal review conducted by the Transportation Department this year found that previously only around 30% of funds went towards infrastructure repairs. San Marcos is now the latest city in the county to pass new e-bike rules and restrictions. During a meeting on Tuesday, the San Marcos City Council approved a vote to ban all children under 12 years old from riding e-bikes. This decision comes as part of San Marcos's Ride Right campaign. The proposal focuses on enforcement and safety education. Regarding enforcement, signs will be added to keep e-bikes off business district sidewalks in San Marcos. And as far as safety education, local schools and the sheriff's office will partner for on-campus safety events and safety trainings. The county's agricultural products are valued at almost $1.7 billion. According to the annual crop report from the county's Department of Agriculture Weights and Measures, that's a 1% increase from the previous year. And vegetables are leading the boost. Veggies made a jump up to fifth place overall on the county's top crops list. That's one spot behind a local staple, avocados. The county still relies heavily on its top three crops. The first is what they call bedding plants, color, perennials, cacti, and succulents. Second is ornamental trees or shrubs. And third is indoor flowering and foliage plants. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.
San Diego County just agreed to pay its largest ever wrongful death settlement. Reporter Katie Heisen says the family's goal was to make preventable deaths too expensive for county jails.
Hayden Shuck was booked into Central Jail in March of 2022 on suspicion of driving under the influence. Lawyers say within days, he died from dehydration and untreated drug withdrawal. He was 22 years old. His family will never know exactly what happened. There was a camera above his cell, but when they asked for the footage, more than 2 days were missing. A federal judge ruled this summer that the sheriff's office purposefully deleted it. Sabrina Shuck is Hayden's mother.
Hearing Judge Sabra say that this is inexcusable out loud was priceless. It was so redeeming. It was 3.5 years of, please just tell me what happened.
The county will pay $16 million to settle the family's legal claim. Their lawyers say that's the most the county has ever paid to avoid taking a wrongful death claim to court. The sheriff's office says it will come out of its budget. Hayden Shuck died the year before Sheriff Kelly Martinez took office. Her office says it's made big changes since then. In-custody deaths are falling, but they're not stopping. Since Shuck, at least 45 more people have died in San Diego County jails. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
Families experiencing homelessness and sleeping in their cars will soon have access to a new safe parking site in San Diego. Education reporter Katie Anastas says it's at the former site of Central Elementary School.
At least 40 families will be able to safely park and sleep in the lot at night. Kids will be able to do homework in a classroom trailer nearby. Parents will also have access to case managers. Priority will go to families with children in the San Diego Unified School District. State data show more than 8,000 of its students are homeless. School board member Shayna Hazen says the district already works closely with families living in their cars.
So as soon as we open up, and we hope it's before the end of November, we're ready to help connect families to this incredible program so that they can sleep safely as they work to transition to permanent housing.
The San Diego Housing Commission is working with Jewish Family Service to run the program for a year. Hazen hopes this site will pave the way for others across the district. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
The government shutdown claims another casualty, San Diego Fleet Week. Military reporter Andrew Dyer says the Navy canceled all public engagements, leaving thousands of students who attend each year without plans.
The Navy, Coast Guard, and Marine Corps have pulled the plug on their support of Fleet Week San Diego. A Navy official says the Defense Department barred all community outreach throughout the shutdown. Organizers announced public events scheduled next week at the Broadway Pier are canceled. That includes public tours of a Navy warship and Coast Guard cutter. The event, Student STEM Days, is a popular draw for school field trips, but is also canceled.
Last year we had like 4,200 students. And we already had 5,000 signed up this year.
Larry Bloomberg is the CEO of Fleet Week San Diego. He says
the students and the administrators and the teachers, they love that event, okay? So that's a very big disappointment to us.
Bloomberg says there will still be a Fleet Week presence this weekend at the San Diego State football game. Some events for military families also aren't affected. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
Oceanside is getting more sand for its dwindling beaches through something called opportunistic sand replacement. North County reporter Alexander Wen explains what that means.
What's a beach without sand? That's why Oceanside is bringing in 2,000 cubic yards of sand to replenish Tyson Street Beach. This is the city's first official sand compatibility opportunistic use program project, or SCOOP. Basically, it's sand from a dredging project or excavated during construction. This sand is a mixture from the San Elijo dredging project and the excavation at the new Front Wave Arena.
This is the first project in decades that the city's done for this type of effort, and it's awesome.
Bob Ashton is the CEO of Save Oceanside Sand. He says replenishing sand is important for a myriad of reasons.
And for many of us that surf and have grew up here, this is part of our culture. It's in our DNA.
This is only a temporary solution. The city is looking for long-term solutions through its Rebeach project. The city recently filed a notice of preparation for Rebeach, giving residents 30 days to comment on the project's environmental impact. A public meeting is set for Thursday at 5:30 at City Hall. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
Streaming isn't new, but it's increasingly popular in recent years. Arts reporter Audie McAfee talked to a few streamers after this year's TwitchCon in San Diego about how streaming can affect mental health, both positively and negatively.
Twitch is a live streaming platform launched in June 2011. Since then, it's become the largest streaming platform in the world, averaging 31 million daily visitors. There are all kinds of genres to watch, from just chatting and IRL to cooking, gaming, and more. As the platform continues to grow, so does the conversation around mental health and boundaries for both streamers and their audiences. Miriam Matter is a neuroscience researcher. She says people are spending more time online than ever.
There was a report from 2024 that stated, you know, worldwide, globally, people spend approximately 7 hours a day online. And by the time, you know, we reach 80 years old, we would have spent about 17 years of our lives like online, which is quite intense to think about.
Spending hours watching streamers can lead to what's called a parasocial relationship, a one-sided emotional bond a person can form with a media figure or a fictional character even without any real connection. At this year's TwitchCon, streamer Amiru says she was assaulted by a fan during a meet and greet. The incident drew attention to the potential dangers of parasocial relationships.
there are damaging elements to being online so much that people feel they know you and people feel they can approach you and people feel they can cross boundaries that they wouldn't normally cross with strangers in the street because they spend so much time watching you online and you give so much of your personality.
Matter adds that not every parasocial relationship is harmful if the viewer sees the streamer as inspiration or representation, but they should remember that the streamer is not their friend. Streamers also deal with hateful comments in their chats. Those who post them are often called keyboard warriors, people who send mean messages online that they'd never say face-to-face. Streamer Psyculturist plays games live while analyzing them through a psychology lens. He says he tries to turn hate messages into learning moments.
What do you mean by that, right? What do you mean that, for example, they're like, oh, well, you're brown, you're chubby, how can you be a psychologist, you're educated, like stuff like that. What do you mean by that? Okay. And so please tell me more, right? And all of a sudden they're on the ring and they're like, what do I say? And it's not to put them on the spot, but it's a learning opportunity for individuals to learn that that is not okay.
Another streamer, Briggsy, says they don't tolerate any messages that make them uncomfortable.
I don't think the block button is being used enough. The second some nonsense comes on my feed, block. I don't have time for explanations.
With all the hours streamers spend online curating content and engaging with viewers, Briggsy says it's important to take breaks and reconnect with the world around them.
Go outside, even if it's just to take a walk, even if it's to go around the corner to get your favorite candy bar, even if it's just to say hi to your neighbor, or hell, go to a park, go look at puppies. I know it sounds really simple and people say it all the time in jest or even derisively, but it's a fact. You feel 100% better when you come back inside. You're like, you know what? I don't need this computer.
Despite the challenges of streaming, Psyculturist says Twitch has helped him reach people who need mental health resources.
I've had a lot of viewers come through and message, you know, because of your streams, because you started analyzing an anime that I like, it inspired me to go seek help, and now they have therapists, and now they have the support that they need to actually go through with their everyday life.
Matter says everyone navigates online spaces differently, and that's why knowing your limit matters.
I think it's really important to think about what makes you feel safe, what makes you feel yourself, what you are willing to accept, what your boundaries would look like. Set those clear boundaries and stick to them. And that's the most important thing. You have to put yourself first and prioritize your health, whether it's mental or physical. Both are just as important as each other.
Audie McAfee, KPBS News.
That is it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I really want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a teen-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.